Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. This opening number, titled Red's Piano, is brought to us by a group called NRBQ. We'll be hearing more about and from NRBQ later on in today's program, and they'll close it out as well. But first, these trivia questions. Our trivia questions come to us today from ClassicBands.com. Classic Rock's Fascinating Facts. Question number one. In 1929, American Paul Galvin, the head of Galvin Manufacturing Corporation, invented the first car radio. Consumers had to purchase the radio separately as they were not available from car makers. What was the name Galvin coined for the company's new product? Hint: the name combines the idea of motion and radio. So what is that name? Question number two. Fats Domino's 1956 hit Blueberry Hill was originally a number one hit for whom? Was it A, Chopin, B, Scott Joplin, C, Glenn Miller, D, Marlon Brando, or E, Tiny Tim? Hint: here's a snippet from this artist. So, who is that artist? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. In the transition section for today, we see these pieces by BGORecords.com and MusicOrb.com from their series Today in Music History, and today is the weekend of September 9 and 10. Now, if you were born on September 9, you share a birthday with Cannonball Adderley. He was born on September 9, 1928. Otis Redding, September 9, 1941, Dock of the Bay. Doug Engle from Iron Butterfly, September 9. 1946. Billy Preston, September 9, 1946. He's the fifth Beatle. And Lowell Cream from 10cc, September 9, 1947. And finally, Dave Stewart, Eurythmics, September 9, 1952. Or if you were born on September 10, you share a B-Day with Raymond H.W. Scott. He's the New York orchestra leader, Your Hit Parade, born on September 10, 1908. Danny Hutton from Three Dog Night, September 10, 1942, and Joe Perry of Aerosmith, Walk This Way, September 10, 1950. Deaths in music history this weekend include bluegrass legend Bill Monroe. He died this weekend back in 1996. And miscellany in music history this weekend, back in 1926, RCA creates NBC. 1954, this weekend, Alan Freed begins work on WINS, New York. 1956, 2 years after that, this weekend, Elvis Presley makes his first of 8 appearances on The Ed Sullivan Show. And back in 1957, a year after that, Paul Anka's Diana is at number one. 1965, Rolling Stone's Satisfaction hits number one. And back in 1966, a year later, the Beatles' Revolver album hits number one, where it stays for 6 weeks. And back in 1966, that same year, that same weekend, John Lennon meets Yoko Ono at an avant-garde art exposition. And finally, back in 1972, this weekend, Seals and Crofts debut on charts with Summer Breeze.
see the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, let me know everything's all right. Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
In local rock news, we see this article published by David Menconi, News and Observer, 28th of August, 2011, entitled Carolina Chocolate Drops Get Back Their Sense of Timing. For their first 5 years, Carolina Chocolate Drops seemed to have perfect timing. The trio of Dom Flemons, Rhiannon Giddens, and Justin Robinson had a fortuitous meeting at the 2005 Black Banjo Gathering. They were able to woodshed with old-time elders such as Joe Thompson, and their new spin on old-time string band music came along at a time when the Avett Brothers and other contemporaries were making acoustic roots music commercially viable. The Chocolate Drops even made the pop charts with last year's Genuine Negro Jig, selling a healthy 60,000 copies. But things got a bit awkward back in December. Just around the time they picked up a Grammy nomination, Robinson informed his mates that he was going back to graduate school and leaving the group. February's Grammy ceremonies marked the end of the original trio, although they went out on a high note when Genuine Negro Jig won Best Traditional Folk Album. "That was really wonderful," says Flemons. "It was a pleasure just to be there, and we were all hoping for the best. But to hear our name called and receive a Grammy was wholly greater in itself." Since departing the Chocolate Drops, Robinson has emerged with a new group called the Mary Annettes. Meanwhile, the Chocolate Drops have added two new members, multi-instrumentalist Hubby Jenkins and vocal performance artist Adam Matta, and are back at it. They were scheduled to play Saturday at the North Carolina Museum of Art. "It's still us, the Chocolate Drops, on the same path with the same basic stuff we feel strongest about, but with a different sound and a different flair. We can shake it up a little more than in the past." Along with retooling the stage show for four-piece, the Chocolate Drops have already recorded their next album, which is due out next spring, titled To Be Determined. They recorded it in Nashville with Ace Country Blues guitarist Buddy Miller and Emmylou Harris sideman. The article skips down. "There are a couple more blues numbers and some arrangement ideas with percussion that take other things we've touched on a little farther. We've got another jazz number. But I hesitate to be too specific because we recorded 30 songs and we're not quite sure what will make the final album. When the album emerges, there will be quite a bit writing on it." Both Flemons and Giddens talk about how important it is for the Chocolate Drops to bring something fresh to the table and keep things moving forward. They certainly recognize what a good ride they've had so far. "The coolest part about winning a Grammy was being able to acknowledge some people publicly," says Giddens. "It's not just us who won this, but I'm just rolling with whatever happens. I'm glad for the experience, and if it never repeats, at least it happened once, and I'm grateful." This next article comes to us from Stephanie Bruzzesi, Common Sense Media, published on August 21, 2011. "Muppets, The Green Album, Various Artists." Common Sense rates it 5 stars. "Parents need to know that although Muppets, The Green Album features hip rock bands like Weezer and My Morning Jacket, who typically make music for adults, all the bands sing these classic Muppet songs verbatim, so there's no iffy lyrics. The result is an album full of fun, inspirational tunes with a modern rock sound, a great choice for kids and adults alike. Families can talk about the differences between the classic versions of these songs by Kermit the Frog and other Muppets and the new versions on this album. Which do you like better? Does hearing a classic track sung by someone else change how you feel about the song? Why or why not?"
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and
what's the story? On this wholesome but cool album, contemporary rockers like My Morning Jacket, OK Go, Alkaline Trio, and The Airborne Toxic Event put a new spin on timeless Muppet tunes, including Rainbow Connection, which is playing in the background now. Being Green and Wishing Song. The end result is a collection of squeaky clean, hip tunes that both kids and adults will enjoy. Is it any good? It's hard to say which are truly standout songs among the many excellent tracks on this record. The light, lovely quality of Andrew Bird's Being Green, eclectic rendition of the Muppet Show theme song by OK Go, and hilarious take on Mana Mana by The Fray are just a few of the tracks that families will find themselves listening to over and over. This is an excellent album for kids and parents of all ages to share and enjoy together. This next article is brought to us by Uncle John's Bathroom Leader, Plunges into Music, 2007. Music to go shopping by. Is that bland music you hear in the supermarket sending you a secret message to spend more money? Yes, it is. Something in the air. In behavioral psychology, a specialty called atmospherics is the study of how a store's environment, everything from the paint on the walls to the display layouts to the music, affects retail purchases. It's also the study of how to change a store's atmosphere to generate greater sales. The goal is to create an environment that's pleasant so shoppers will linger. Ever since a seminal 1982 study by Ronald Milliman, a marketing professor at Western Kentucky University, retailers have been trying to figure out just what music to play to make shoppers spend. Milliman examined how the tempo of the background music playing in a store affected shoppers. If the music had a laid-back tempo of 60 beats per minute, shoppers lingered longer than if it was more lively, 108 beats per minute. And both groups spent more time shopping than those in a store with no music at all. More time means more impulse buys. For every additional minute shoppers spend in a supermarket, they spend another $1.89. And slowing down the beat of the music has been shown to increase sales by 38.2%. It was the same with diners. Patrons at restaurants with laid-back music spend an average of 56 minutes eating, as opposed to an average 45 minutes with faster beats, and they bought 3.04 more drinks. Know your audience. So is that the solution? Slow the music down and sales go through the roof? Not quite. Atmospherics researchers have broken music into two different categories, background music, like Muzak, and foreground music, like Top 40 Hits. If tempo were the only factor affecting shopping, the world would be overrun by elevator music. However, studies have also shown that the under-25 crowd will flee music-soaked environments and linger around pop music. For older crowds, the reverse is true. The details get even more specialized than that. Shoppers who aren't pressed for time will linger in stores playing unfamiliar music, but if they're on a schedule, they'll stay longer if they know all the songs. And in restaurants, the popularity of the music has far less effect than volume. Softer music means happier customers. Song length hasn't been shown to have any effect at all. The search continues. So what's a store owner to do? Pop songs or smooth jazz? Slow or fast? Loud or soft? Esoteric or well-known? In the end, what all this research has shown is that if customers like the music, they're more likely to keep shopping. And as long as taste in music is as varied as the channels on satellite radio, stores will continue to try to find the perfect tune to coax the money out of your wallet. So, what do you know about today's featured music group, NRBQ? Well, we have this bio by lyricsfreak.com. NRBQ is an American rock band founded in 1967. They are known for their live performances containing a high degree of spontaneity and levity and blending rock, pop, and jazz styles of the 50s and 60s. Their best-known lineup is the quartet of pianist Terry Adams, bassist Joey Spampinato, guitarist Al Anderson, and drummer Tom Ardolino. name of the band. The abbreviation NRBQ stands for the New Rhythm and Blues Quartet, originally quintet, although a 1982 article in Cream magazine suggested a different meaning. Nothing really beats quality. The band's inability to achieve mainstream commercial success has led many fans to lament that NRBQ could also mean no records bought in quantity.
Came to me, slipped in through an open crack, then asked for nothing back. Love came to me.
The band's music, a rollicking blend of everything from stomping rockabilly to Beatles-influenced pop to Thelonious Monk-inspired jazz, has attracted fans as diverse as Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, Elvis Costello, Keith Richards, and Penn & Teller. NRBQ songs have inspired cover versions by Bonnie Raitt, Los Lobos, and Dave Edmunds, among many others. In addition, they served as the unofficial house band for The Simpsons for the season 10 to 12 period, in which NRBQ fan Mike Scully was head writer and executive producer, contributing several songs and even appearing in animated form. NRBQ's devoted following has been stoked by years of legendary live shows. The band never works with a set list, so fans never know what songs they may hear. In addition to their own compositions, the band has performed a broad range of cover material and has even worked no refusal audience request into their act. However, all of this admiration from their peers and fans has never resulted in a chart-topping success. The band has made only one appearance on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in its nearly 40-year recording career. Get That Gasoline Blues reached number 70 back in 1974. More than once, NRBQ has garnered a major label record deal, only to be dropped after one or two albums due to poor sales. The situation is largely due to the impossibility of defining the band in terms of any single pre-existing musical category, but the band's eccentric sense of humor, while beloved by fans, hasn't helped their commercial potential either. Over the years, the group has played festival sets while wearing pajamas, hired professional wrestler Captain Lou Albano as their manager, for whom they penned a song in tribute, and exploded Cabbage Patch Dolls on stage. In 1985, the members of NRBQ all played zombies in George A. Romero's third Dead film, Day of the Dead. History. NRBQ formed in 1967 in Miami, Florida, coming together from the remnants of several other bands. In addition to their instrumental prowess, everyone sang lead vocals at various times. The group relocated to the northeastern U.S., living for a while in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and gained attention in local clubs. In the spring of 69, they were the opening act for a three-band program at the Fillmore East. The second act was Joe Cocker. The program noted that his version of With a Little Help from My Friends was having some mild success in the U.S. The headline act was the Jeff Beck Group, with lead singer Rod Stewart. NRBQ was signed to Columbia Records in 69 and released their self-titled debut album, which was playing in the background just then, the same year. The record featured cover versions of everyone from Eddie Cochran to Sun Ra, along with a number of similarly wide-ranging original songs. The following year, the group collaborated with rockabilly legend Carl Perkins on an album titled Boppin' the Blues. In 1977, the group released Ridin' in My Car as a single from the All Hopped Up album. The song garnered a great deal of airplay in western Massachusetts and Connecticut, but didn't break out nationally. Mercury Records thought enough of the commercial potential to license it for inclusion on the band's follow-up album at Yankee Stadium. Ridin' in My Car never became a national hit, but it has remained in the band's live act consistently since its release. During the 70s and early 80s, NRBQ recorded a number of albums, mostly on Rounder Records, or the band's own label, Red Rooster Records. The band also garnered a reputation for unpredictable live shows, since it eschewed the use of set lists. A former staple of the group's gigs was the Magic Box, a mysteriously painted crate into which fans could drop slips of papers with requests on them. The band would play whatever songs they drew out as the box. Over the years, the results range from the Beach Boys' Caroline No to a discordant version of the Christmas standard Jingle Bells. If the band had never heard of the song, they would simply create something on the spot, usually a discordant musical hash that included the title somewhere.
Well, I like that girl. She's the cutest thing I know, plus she likes me back.
The band would receive another shot at major label stardom in 1983 with the release of Grooves in Orbit, a song from which is playing in the background now. In 1989, free from the Bearsville contract, the band got another one-album major label deal with Virgin Records. Wild Weekend became the first NRBQ album to reach the charts since the 1969 debut, but it wasn't enough for Virgin to extend the deal. The early 1990s saw appearances by various NRBQ members on albums by Keith Richards and Chuck Berry. In 2004, the group celebrated its 35th anniversary with concerts at the Calvin Theater in Northampton, Massachusetts. The show featured every former and current member of the band as Ferguson, Gadler, Staley, Sheehan, and Anderson came back for a mammoth NRBQ reunion. Near the end of 2004, NRBQ went on hiatus. The repeated rumor was that Adams had developed a severe case of tendonitis in his hands. After a number of months, Adams would recover well enough to tour with the former drummer Staley and Japanese rockabilly group, the Hotshots. In September 2006 came the release of a SpongeBob SquarePants album, The Best Day Ever, which included backing music by all four NRBQ members, as well as Al Anderson. The album, a collection of 60s-influenced pop rock with the voice of SpongeBob, Tom Kenny, also included such musical luminaries as Brian Wilson, Tommy Ramone, James Burton, and Flaco Jimenez. Article skips down and ends with this. Around 2008, original guitarist Steve Ferguson developed small cell lung cancer in the spring of 2009, is reported too weak to travel, but on June 26, 2009, was reported to be in Northampton, Massachusetts for a three-night stand to play with many of his old mates one more time. He went on to say that it was likely there would be another NRBQ reunion. Their album discography lists at least 35 albums, starting with their self-titled NRBQ release in 1969 by Columbia Records and going all the way to 2011, Keep This Love Going.
When I was unhappy, you were my friend, and you really helped me.
From Amazon.com, we see this review of this new album. NRBQ pianist Terry Adams resumes his life work full force with Keep This Love Going, a new studio CD recorded with the band he formed in 2007, formerly known as the Terry Adams Rock and Roll Quartet. They offer 12 unforgettable and unmistakably NRBQ tunes, pop, rock, jazz, swing, and more are here, as are great musicianship, emotion, fearlessness, and fun. Adams, who has presided over every NRBQ lineup since the band's inception over 40 years ago, recently revealed his life-changing cancer diagnosis in 2004, his former bandmates' decision to leave the pursue their own music, and the long road back to health, and the formation of a new band worthy of the name NRBQ. Great news, that time has come. This final article in today's program, it's a review of the Fountains of Wayne new album, Sky Full of Holes, and it's published in the Entertainment Weekly, August the 5th, 2011. The beloved power pop veterans dialed down the big guitars at slick synths of yore on this relatively rootsy effort. If the sound has shifted, though, the songs remain the same. Wittily observed, slice of life tales from lives you're thankful not to call your own. They opened up on a bar called Living Hell. Frontman Chris Collingwood sings over a folksy shuffle on Richie and Reuben. Right from the start, it didn't go too well. Boo-hoo, meet ha-ha. Given an A-minus by MW. Here then is a snippet from Richie and Reuben.
They opened up a bar called Living Hell. Right from the start, it didn't go too well. They didn't have the vibe or quite the right clientele. They bought a velvet rope and the doorman laughed.
So how'd you do on those trivia questions today? Answer number one, the name of the first car radio that combined the idea of both motion and radio back in 1929 was Motorola. And answer number two, Fats Domino's 1956 hit Blueberry Hill was originally a number one hit for Glenn Miller. Back in 1940, that was 16 years before Fats Domino's cover.
What could I do? What could I say?
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. If you have a suggestion for an artist, group, or genre of music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 832-5138. So long until next time.
What could I do? What could I do? What could I say?